to the establishment.
You're listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Kriston T. Harris, and we have a great show lined up. Drew Arnold was just our guest, and if you missed that segment, make sure you check it out on band.video. Follow us on x.com/TheRealAlexJonesShow and InfoWars. You can also find me /Kriston T. Harris. And right now, we have to mention there's a way that you can get into the information war and support this broadcast. Listen, we can't do it without you guys. This broadcast is 100% funded by you guys. We waste a lot of money on things trivial, tools we never use, whatever it might be. You can invest that money in a way to help your health. Right now, we have buy one, get one free supplements and 25% off of all apparel at the Alex Jones store. Make sure you guys run on down there, pick something up. It is the Black Friday special. It's going until November 28th. And I can tell you guys, I use these supplements myself. I've used everything from VasoBeat to BrainForce, and I love it. I love it. I use it all the time whenever I get a chance to, and it makes a difference in my daily life. It really helps, especially when it comes to the multivitamins that Jones offers, amongst other things. But buy one, get one free. That's a hell of a deal, guys. I mean, especially when we start talking about the CoQ10 products and everything that's life extension as well, the methylene blue. Buy one, get one free. You can't beat that. That's up like basically 50% off. So why wouldn't you head on down to the Alex Jones store and pick some of this stuff up? Get it now and stock up on it while you're there. Support this broadcast, because without you guys, we are not live. We're not on the air. This is 100% funded by you guys, not funded by government, not funded by anyone else. And we're here to bring real information and news to you, and sometimes try to sift through the propaganda. And just doing to do just that, we have a guest that will be coming up to join us, Don Vi Jr., editor of the Free Thought Project and contributor to the Conscious Resistance. And I think it's really important that we start diving into what's going on globally, that we stay healthy both in our mind, right? Planting healthy seeds in the garden of our mind, but also to get our mind right, we take these supplements to get healthy. So I want you guys to support this broadcast. Take a picture of your supplements and drop them on x.com/TheRealAlexJones. And let people know that you support this broadcast. It's funny how contagious it is. If somebody sees a cool shirt somebody has, they go out and they pick it up. Help us share the word, share the live stream, and get into the chat. That being said, I'm really excited about our guest. They'll be joining us right after the break here, Don Vi Jr. And Don is an investigative journalist. He's an anti-war activist. He's also been at the forefront of most of the international political debate. He's great on foreign policy, and I've known him for many years. I think it's really important that we dive in and understand when our government may be potentially running some kind of scam or secret ops. I mean, look at the history of the government. We had Fast and the Furious during the Barack Obama administration. We had the weapons of mass destruction scam during the Bush administration. We could go on and on. Every administration has its scandal, its cover-up. And we're going to dive into a little bit about what's going on with these drug cartels. We have no real public evidence that they are what they claim they are, right? That these are actually drug ships. A lot of times when these ships are blown up, the survivors are let to go. And are we murdering people without any precedence or real knowledge of what's going on those ships? We'll be diving into that and a whole lot more with Don Vi Jr. when we come back from break. I think that we need to ask some serious questions here. We need to really dive in and ask, what is our government's prerogative? And we know that sometimes they don't tell us the truth. Quite often, they don't tell us the truth. And we need to be able to try to dissect this surgically and come out with the appropriate answers. I think that we will have some great information coming from us right here after break with Don Vi Jr. You're listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Kriston T. Harris. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few.
Join our regularly scheduled program after these messages
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip. Get 50% off. And you cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Chris Don T. Harris, and our next guest is Don Vice Jr. Welcome to the broadcast. He's the editor of the Free Thought Project, one of the largest and longest running independent news sites. Make sure you check out the Free Thought Project, as well as he's a contributor to the Conscious Resistance by Derek Bros out there. And there's a lot of interesting information going around about these drug ships that we're technically bombing. But is there evidence that there's drugs on there? Is there evidence that these are cartel ships? What is it that we're really doing? And what is it really doing? Here to break that all down for us is Don Vi Jr. Welcome to the broadcast, Don. And let's start out with the official narrative. What's the official narrative on these drug cartel ships?
Good evening, Kristan. It's a pleasure to be here. Great to join you again, my friend. So obviously, much like pretty much the entire history of what the American Empire has done, we are seeing a rinse and repeat of a lot of the same imperialist narratives that have been used to launch all of the previous wars of our past. The official narrative, however, more so being that these ships, they're rather boats, they're like these little dinghies, really, are being dispatched by Maduro and allegedly cartels that he has aligned with from the coast of Venezuela, allegedly bringing fentanyl into the United States and, you know, part of this huge, wave of drug abuse and death that has been occurring for the past several years now. And unfortunately, that is simply not the case. An examination of data, even from the Department of Justice's own website and some of the reports that they've recently released, demonstrate quite clearly that a very minuscule, if none at all, zero amount of fentanyl is produced and shipped from Venezuela. As a matter of fact, the Department of Justice website and Homeland Security have identified that Venezuela's primary drug export is actually cocaine bound for the European market, not the American market. So what we're seeing here is this manufacturing of a narrative that has allowed President Trump to then go outside the bounds of what the Constitution allows and has committed these extrajudicial executions at sea in international waters, not only a violation of the Constitution, but also a violation of international law, absolutely no due process, as there has been no evidence presented by this administration of any drugs being carried on these vessels at all, aside from them just asking us to take their word for it.
Well, what's interesting is that some of these people have survived, right? And Trump doesn't have them apprehended or prosecuted. So we have to ask some questions, because the first thing I think about is the Iran-Contra scandal, right? The CIA is smuggling cocaine into the United States and selling it on the streets to fund illegal black ops and wars in Nicaragua. And the first thing I thought when I thought, you know, we're going after these drug cartels, I'm like, oh, is our own government trying to corner the market? Because could it just be our own government that's bringing in the drugs like they historically have been known to do? But what we're trying to see here, what we're starting to see here, is inconsistencies. Why aren't you apprehending individuals that survived these, you know, ship, you know, these ship attacks, and why aren't we trying to prosecute them, amongst other things? So what is it that we're finding? If there's no real evidence, what are our thought processes behind this? Because they've all, our government has always had this like boogeyman complex where we have this boogeyman, you know, we have to go after him, whether it was Al-Qaeda, you know, and Pat Tillman's story where they kept trying to find Al-Qaeda and go after him, but they're always empty. And it's like they knew that we were coming. Or we have other boogeyman stories, false flag type narratives. Remember the Spain to hell with, you know, remember the Spain or to hell with Spain, remember the Maine, excuse me, and other things throughout the history that have really been set up this way. But I don't really see this as a false flag attack. What is it that we're doing there then? If you don't, if these aren't drug ships and these aren't drug cartels, what are some of the different viewpoints we're hearing out there from some of the anti-war people?
Well, first and foremost, you made a very poignant point that the, you know, the U.S. government has had a long documented history of being the perpetrators of the worst drug trafficking the United States has ever seen. Not only through the Vietnam War, we saw a huge influx of heroin and opium poppy during that time frame, as well as during the occupation of Afghanistan from 2001 to 2023. Interestingly enough, the Taliban, prior to 9/11, had been partnered with the previous Clinton administration, as well as in the early days of the George W. Bush administration, in their war on drugs, and had eradicated huge swaths of opium poppy in their country. It was only after the Taliban had been toppled in Afghanistan and the U.S. took over, and we've had multiple whistleblowers from regular soldiers with boots on the ground to high-ranking military officials all admit in the last 2 decades that they were there to secure the poppy, and opium poppy production exploded throughout Afghanistan. And then, of course, just coincidentally, surely, the amount of heroin production and exportation and abuse here in the United States skyrocketed just like it did during Vietnam. And now only just recently, as a matter of fact, our good colleague and ineffable reporter James Corbett released an article discussing how yet again in just a few years, opium poppy production in Afghanistan has completely been slashed to merely a fraction of what it was. And so we have that history of the United States incorporating the protection of the drug racket into its foreign policy, as well as documented from individuals such as Gary Webb, who is a fantastic reporter from the late 90s, early 2000s, with his Dark Alliance series for the San Jose Mercury News, documented the ways in which the CIA during the Iran-Contra scandal, as you had mentioned, were funneling drugs into this country essentially to fund their black operations in Central America, which is also a very important facet for people to understand. The United States, or more aptly put, the U.S. empire, has always had this agenda of destabilizing the global South. And they have always had this agenda since the Monroe Doctrine of the 1800s to want to destabilize and take control of Latin and Central America. So we've seen numerous coups take place throughout those years. We've seen, of course, you know, notable instances such as the installation of the Pinochet regime in Chile, and the attempted coups against Honduras and in Brazil. And of course, even during Trump's previous administration, multiple coup attempts against the government of Venezuela to overthrow the Maduro government. Interestingly, however, despite the fact that Trump is propped up as being this rogue outsider who doesn't march to the beat of the deep state and the military-industrial complex, he is carrying on the very same legacy of the people he claims to be different than, because U.S. hostilities against Venezuela really began during the presidency of George W. Bush with the Venezuelan presidency of Hugo Chavez. The United States wanted Chavez to be more economically friendly with them, And essentially, that's what all wars go back to, isn't it? And when Chavez refused to essentially bow to the will of the American empire, then coup attempts were launched against him and then his successors and whatnot. And these hostilities have continued. And to get down to the point of the reasons why, as you were asking, well, when it comes to Venezuela specifically, people would be very shocked, perhaps, because we've never been told this, to learn that Venezuela has the largest reserves of crude oil, not only in South America, but at this point in the entire world. So we're seeing all of these false narratives become crafted. As a matter of fact, the New York Times just 10 days ago, around about that time, ran an article titled The Case for Overthrowing Maduro. And so we're seeing this recycling almost of the same narrative used to invade Iraq, propping up, creating this idea of a boogeyman that he's a repressive dictator. We have to go in for freedom and democracy, all the while the real gears that are turning for the military-industrial complex is because they want to seize those oil resources.
So what we're breaking down here is essentially that the attack on these ships is to build the boogeyman, right? The fentanyl is killing people. I've known people that have died from fentanyl. I used to be a former bartender, and three or four of my friends that I've known throughout the years have died due to fentanyl and poor life choices. And it's also in medication. People have died from overdose of fentanyl. It's just not a very safe drug. And the fact that they're using this as a boogeyman makes sense, because almost these days, everyone's been impacted by somebody who has been overdosed or has died due to fentanyl. It's an epidemic, really. But, you know, they're going after hemp, right? That's it. We're going to ban the gummies and the flour. And that stuff's going to really help help things out really well there. But no, we're going to really focus on building this boogeyman. So is that what you believe that attacking these ships are? Are we just attacking empty ships or ships that we know that are safe? Or is this all theater? I mean, what's really going on here, Don? What do you think the most likely scenario here?
Well, a number of the ships, because certainly, you know, let's not mince words here. Some of them could definitely have harbored drugs or drug traffickers. We simply do not know, because this administration has not presented the evidence one way or the other. So it is possible that some of them were drug ships. It's possible that some of them were, in fact, bound for the United States. It's possible some of them, as I mentioned earlier, were bound for the European cocaine market. We do know, however, also that a number of these vessels that have been identified were civilian merchant vessels or fishing vessels, not even capable, you know, logistically of having the amounts of cocaine. I remember early when these strikes first began, you had the Department of Defense, or I guess you could say the Department of War now, since they're being more on the nose with what this government is really
about.
Call
it what it is.
Exactly. You know, they came out saying that, oh, these boats were carrying upwards of, what, some odd thousands of pounds of drugs. And it's like, these boats are so small. If they had that amount of drugs on them, they would capsize. It's physically impossible for some of these vessels to have the amounts of drugs they claimed they had on them. So, but a very important point that people need to understand here is the way that this deliberately, this failed war on drugs has been deliberately propped up to create the pretexts and manufacture the consent for so many of these agendas. Because essentially what we have here is this conglomeration between the national security / military industrial complex and big pharma, so the medical industrial complex, as well as the prison industrial complex, all sort of working symbiotically. And if we go back to the early days of the drug war, we had top-ranking officials from the Nixon administration who openly admitted later in their career that the whole point for starting the drug war was not because they care about protecting the health of Americans. This was openly admitted by top officials of Nixon's administration. Forgive me, I can't remember the man's name at the moment, but admitted that the reason why they cracked down on drugs, mind you, the drugs that they themselves through the CIA imported deliberately into black communities and other marginalized communities, was because they wanted a reason to criminalize the anti-war movements that were going on at the time against Vietnam, as well as the black liberation movements, groups like the Black Panthers and others that were fighting for civil rights. So from the very beginning, this drug war has been nothing but a power grab sham. And, you know, let's just call a spade here. Donald Trump, no matter what people want to say about his intellect, certainly a lot of things can be said there. At the very least, he is known to be a businessman. He has some economically sound understanding in his that head of his. So he knows the value of supply and demand. And so if you were to just take that, juxtapose it to the fact that the best known treatments or the best known policies for these drug issues are decriminalization mixed with putting resources towards healthcare and economic stability to prevent the addiction to these substances, such as in the instance of Portugal. Portugal legalized all drugs over 20, I believe even 30 years ago now, and violent crime has steadily gone down. Homelessness has steadily gone down. Pretty much across the board, their society and quality of life has improved since they did that, in addition to allocating resources to more healthcare and economic stability. As I said, it's not a situation where you can just legalize drugs and everything is automatically hunky-dory. We saw that in Portland, Oregon, where they did the one part but not the other part. And of course, Portland, Oregon failed miserably where Portugal succeeded, because Portland just legalized the drugs, and then they did absolutely nothing to improve healthcare, economic stability, quality of life. But so with Trump being the businessman that he is, understanding supply and demand, if you really wanted to hit the cartels where it hurts and shut their operations down in its tracks, all you need to do is sign an executive order decriminalizing all drugs. And suddenly the cartel is out of business. People no longer have to rely on illicit means to acquire these substances for the most part. And at that point in time, it becomes very clear that because that is not the policy that is being pursued, we're seeing the drug war being utilized, as it always has been, to expedite police state measures, enhanced surveillance state on the border, biometric surveillance, the biometric entry and exit system that Trump has very much called for since his first administration, the excesses.
Yeah, digital ID is huge right now. That's a big conversation. Everyone's talking digital ID. And that's where we're going with all this.
Yeah, the abuses of the Constitution by ICE and CBP that are happening all across the country right now. And so it's very clear that what is happening here is a deliberate policy to enhance the very police state that Alex Jones had been warning about from the early 2000s for the OG InfoWars crew. You will remember, you know, the police state documentaries, Police State 1, Police State 2, 3, 4. Alex did a great job of calling out precisely what this government would be doing and the strategies that they would utilize to circumvent the Constitution and install a tyrannical state in this country. Sadly, however, a lot of people who initially rang the bell and sounded the alarm for that are now cheering for it because they have fallen into that false dichotomy of, oh, I support the left or I support the right. And so they've completely abandoned their principles when it comes to, you know, actually opposing these attacks against the liberty of everyone.
Well, and that's just it. No matter who is in office and whoever is president, they're not going to be perfect or even close to perfect. And we need to hold them to the fire when they are doing things that take away our freedoms and liberties. I know last time I hosted the War Room, I spoke to the listeners out there. I just want you to think about this. If ICE came to a hotel you were at, took your wife and kids out of a room and put them down on the ground with guns to the back of their head while they're looking for illegal immigrants, that would be terrifying. It'll be traumatizing. And that's what was happening in Chicago. Like, there are things that this Trump administration are doing that are unconstitutional, and we need to call it out. We need to bring awareness to it. And the whole GOP party, which we have Kristen Megyn Kelly coming on in just a few minutes to talk about how it's literally divided. And the independent vote, that's what really swings elections, if you believe in those things, that the elections are swung by these independent minds, libertarians, the Green parties, and those who just don't fit in anywhere. And America's not ready for a third party. The system's not set up like that, amongst other things. But we have to look at ways we can hold these people accountable. We're starting to see some of the heroes that have been trumpeting the Constitution resign, pull out, and people who have been like really bring awareness to things like the Epstein files, have their livelihood threatened. It's happening. Like, this is it. The government is actually, like, kind of in a way, in a form, in the corner. Like, we're seeing them lash out now, Don. And right. We're seeing them lash out much like a dog when it's in the corner and has nowhere else to go. This means we kind of have the establishment on the ropes. And I think it's a good time to blow the trump and let people know it's time for you to come back and understand and get involved in these conversations. It's time for you to be starting a podcast or finding ways to support this broadcast. It's time for you to re-educate yourself and dive back in and get caught up to what's really happening and tuning into programs like the War Room here, Don. Don, we got 2 minutes here left. Let's break down real quick. I want you to have a chance to plug yourself where people can read your information because it's so accurate. You do such a good job of research and information. Your sources are interesting as well. And I want to give you mad props over the last few years. You're one of the real quiet people behind the scenes who's been incredibly accurate with foreign policy and what's going on. And you've been right. You were right about Snake Island. You were right about all these things that you came out early and said, this all sounds like propaganda. Well, this is exactly what it sounds like is a boogeyman. They're not apprehending any survivors. We're not prosecuting. There's no proof that there's drugs on these ships. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. We're not getting much transparency from the government. Is it justification to go into the Venezuela and start overthrowing the government? You know, the CIA, they're all about destabilization, right? That was a big game of theirs. Go ahead, Don. We have a minute and a half here left in this segment.
Right. So just quickly to sum it up, your point about, the government, sort of lashing out and the corruption. The fact of the matter is that is what we're going to get with statism. That's what we're going to get with the state. People need to recognize that ultimately, if you look back at the last 6,000 years of human history, the nature of the state, this collective hierarchical system that has been utilized to dominate society on behalf of just one small group of people who call themselves the ruling class with no justification for that, the only real solution people need to get through their heads is not a left or right thing. It is we have to exercise our will and resources towards establishing a stateless society and these parallel systems to exit and build from what is happening right now, exiting the current systems and building new ones. So that's pretty much
Don, all where I can people find out more about you real quick? Find me we got 10 seconds here.
At thefreethoughtproject.com. You can find my work on theconsciousresistance.com, and you can follow me on X. Sometimes I post on there at my name, at Don By Jr. Thank you for having me, Kristan. It's been a wonderful
time. Don By Jr. is our guest. Thank you very much. Kristen Megyn Kelly will be joining us next. Don't go anywhere. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about what we can do in this bipolarized system, this two-party system. How can we win these midterms? That and a whole bunch more. We'll be back.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. So good for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate.
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Kristan T. Harris. You're listening to The War Room, and our next guest is a whistleblower, a government patriot, and a liberty heroine. She has trumpeted the guise of liberty and brought awareness to the two-party system as a fellow libertarian who is stuck in the two-party system. Krista Megan Kelly, welcome to the broadcast. Krista Megan Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today, because I really wanted to talk about this because our GOP is definitely separated with what's going on right now. And I just got done talking to Don Vi Jr. about how I really see the government up against the ropes. I don't think that most of our movement realizes that the establishment is flailing right now, that they are getting aggressive, coming after us. They are up against the ropes. We've gotten a few good hits in. They're getting dizzy. We could go out for the knockout punch, but now we're seeing some of the kickback and some of the fighting like a dog in the corner right before it's about to submit, because you've got it locked down, Krista Megan Kelly. And people are falling. They're starting to get into this divide and conquer tactics where we got these Trump movement versus the Liberty movement. He's attacking people like Thomas Massey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and others who have really trumpeted this Epstein files, amongst other things. And the question is how are we going to win midterms? I mean, like, because we don't want any more of this extreme left ideology. I think most of the independent voters out there have geared towards the conservative idea, because at least we're not trying to degrade children out there and get them into the mental illness factory and on big pharmaceutical drugs because of, you know, their corrupt ways and corporatist ways, and support that ideology. Like, we have a little bit more common sense, so a lot of us move to the right currently because of the issues that are important, including education and other things, and the drug war. You know, as an independent, we want to discuss those things and be able to have those topics be important to us. So welcome to the show. I want to say thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day to discuss this topic, because there's a lot going on, right?
There's absolutely a lot going on. Thank you for having me on. I've been waiting to talk about this issue on a platform like this. So a little backstory here is, on election night, I was with Luke Rutkowski of We Are Change, and we actually crossed over with Alex. And I went back the other day because of all this GOP divide, and I watched our live broadcast. It was like 8 hours long. And you had anarchists, minarchists, libertarians, Ron Paul Republicans, moderates, that all recognized the same threat, which was standing against the unhinged progressive left. And I just looked at all the hope and excitement, even seeing Luke, who's one of us, like actually voting for Trump. It was a big deal. And there was even a friend there who was super anti-government, wore a Trump girl hat. And then I look at where we're at. So I first want to say, I don't regret my vote for Trump. There's amazing things that have been done. But you would think that after Trump spoke at the Libertarian National Convention, you know, promising to bring in libertarians to his administration and campaigning on the very things that Thomas Massey has championed and tried to get through over the past 12 years, only to be shut down by his fellow Republicans. For lack of a better term, he crapped the bed. Trump has crapped the bed on this issue. At this point, I'm not a doom and gloom person, but the midterms are done. The only way to save face is somehow for, I know Trump doesn't drink, but when your friend drinks, you take away their phone. Someone needs to take away his phone. Every single day this week, I have seen Trump attack Thomas Massey and call him Rand Jr., which, by the way, he's Ron Paul 2.0, not Rand Jr. Marjorie Taylor Greene. These are the people that the independents, the moderates, the Ron Paul Republicans, the people that say, I don't want to vote for my masters, but they get engaged as active voters when it counts, like in 2024. He's completely demonizing that crowd. And if you look at the Liberty scores of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Rand Paul, and Thomas Massey, and bump it up against the endorsements of people like Lindsey Graham and former Congressman Mike Rogers running for Senate, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if it's Susie Wiles that's in there. Something is wrong, and I'm a root cause investigator. But we have to say, facing the only way to do so is to retract all of these attacks against the Liberty vote. You need it to win, and you and I both know that.
Well, absolutely. And that's the question here, because we have to get into one of the two cars to drive. That's what they say. Or you can pull yourself outside of the system and just not vote, or vote third party. And I think that the big question here is, the independent vote decides elections. 40% of Americans generally are independents, right? And so it's 30% Republican, 30% Democrat, and mostly 40% independent. And we're the ones that decide the elections if we decide to show out and vote. The question is are they going to want to show out and vote after they've been demonized? After the people that got Donald Trump elected, that were responsible for those swing votes in the swing states, which I live in one, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is right next to Michigan, next to Krista Megan Kelly here. We're both in swing states, very heavily impacted by the independent vote. I mean, 22 or 40,000 votes doesn't sound like a lot for libertarians. Keep in mind that was down a little bit because Donald Trump worked out some kind of deals with made promises with the libertarians. I think we're seeing a lot of them kind of sway away and be like, huh, we told you this guy wasn't really going to keep most of his promises. And what we're seeing now is the things that he went and got elected on, he's turning his back on. I mean, this is back to, you know, Barack Obama getting out of wars and legalizing marijuana, which never really happened, right? We're starting to get to the, you know, toast and bananas, the potatoes and gravy, whatever you want to call it. We're getting down to it, and we're starting to understand what Donald Trump is really about. It's the last year of his administration, and he's going to do whatever the heck he wants. So now he has an ego. His ego is hurt because Thomas Massie, you know, David versus Goliath story, was able to go up there and trumpet an issue that is important to all Americans and force the president to command the Republicans to all vote, you know, to pass the Epstein files bill, which is interesting that he had to command them. Thomas Massie had a post recently about how a king will dictate if everyone votes what the king wants. Is that any different than having a king? You know, and people that are here to represent the people, they should vote their mind and their heart and the Constitution. That's what congressional representation is supposed to do, is pin it all up and have the debate of, is it a constitutional act or is it not? And Donald Trump seems to be a little upset that his ego was hurt. And that's what it really comes down to, if you ask me. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, let me just grab this right here, because I have one of Thomas Massie's debt badges. And you probably can't see this image, but we are just shy of $38.5 trillion in debt. And these attacks against Thomas Massie all began at the very beginning when they had to do the CR and continue to kick the can. And all Thomas Massie asked for was a 1% reduction. 1%. Remember, we ran on DOGE. DOGE started finding waste, fraud, and abuse. And then we continued to fund that same things in this bill. And people say Massie's a Democrat. I'm sorry, but all that tells me is how absolutely retarded you are and how delayed you are in the liberty movement. Thomas Massie has been actively engaged in being a constitutional conservative since before 2012 when he ran. It blows my mind, like I said, the same things that Trump ran on, Massie has talked about. So these attacks started with the financial issues, and then it just carried on because he was going against the fray. And again, I'm not a never-Trumper. But I heard Alex's broadcast on Saturday where he said he's inches away from abandoning support. And listen, my opinions are my own. I'm a Ron Paul Republican. I sit on my District 4 Michigan Congressional Committee. Many Ron Paul Republicans on there. I am struggling because everything I built, I will tell you, on election night with Luke, he said, we're not going to win Michigan. I said, yes, we are. I work very heavily in the state with a fellow colleague named Shane Trejo. We worked our butts off to get the libertarians to flip. Even the anarchists who are only registered to vote to shut down millages or legalize cannabis. You know that this liberty vote matters. So ask yourself, how do we flip this to win the midterms? Because the things that the libertarians, independents, and moderates voted for in 2024 can't continue. There's a four-year term under Trump's administration. We are almost just barely there, a fourth in. To continue the things that we want him to do, we've got to keep the majority. And that's hard because I feel like the entire Republican Party, minus a minor few, are still establishment, and they're all funded by AIPAC. And I'm not anti-Semitic by saying that, but we know that our Congress is hijacked by lobbyists and bureaucrats. The only way to save face is we've got to really realize that Trump endorsements don't mean anything, especially in the state of Michigan. I want to talk about Mike Rogers, who's a former congressman, by the way, who got his endorsement. He lost in 2024. If you look at the data of that election, Kristen, in 2024, Trump won. Mike Rogers lost by 20,000 votes between him and Alyssa Slotkin. But there was 170,000 votes that went to other parties. So instead of bashing the faction that doesn't vote your way, you should be courting them, because at the end of the day, I'm a veteran. I have to uphold my oath. A vote for Mike Rogers is a violation of my oath. Mr. Deep State, FISA, Anti-Fourth Amendment, Patriot Act, the darling of the Patriot Act. Why aren't you not realizing, I'm speaking to the Republican Party, they do not need you. You need them. And you know you need them because you've brought on libertarians like Angela McArdle, the party chair for the libertarians, You merged at that Libertarian convention. You were a little spicy, Donald Trump, but you need their vote. And I have worked so hard, and I've been called a statist, and I have been attacked, and I'm still going to fight to the very end. But we are never going to win if we continue to attack people who don't accept AIPAC money, who want to release files. Kristan, I have the emotions of the time when I was in Tampa in 2012, when John Boehner and Rich Priebus changed the rules that made no path
on the floor. I remember this.
The nomination possible. Yeah. I have PTSD from that. And this is reminiscent of the heartache that I'm feeling.
Well, it's interesting because I sat on the platform committee of the GOP at the time, and I was a delegate for Ron Paul, and we were closet delegates. And Paul was trying to do something that was never done before, for those that didn't know, and that was to challenge the official narrative on the floor and have a vote because he had six caucuses. And what they did is they changed the rule to eight caucuses required to push a vote. And because most people didn't know Ron Paul was in, because the media pretended like he didn't exist because he never dropped out. He won the first six caucuses. And I was involved in some fraud research, and there was a lot of interesting things and like shady antics, sketchy things the GOP was doing to try to prevent Ron Paul from getting in, probably for the same reason we're talking about now. The lobbyists don't like the idea of giving the power back to the people. They're there to make money. They're there to persuade politicians to line their back pockets, whether it's through surveillance state, whether it's through, different means. We need to really talk about, though, is how do we do this? Because you're right. We've lost a lot of people. There's a lot of people that no longer believe that the two-party system is an option. And what we're trying to say is that even if you're not a part of the GOP, like, how you vote matters. It matters. These independent votes matter. And so we need you guys to think about what is it that we got to do to salvage these midterms, to keep the nation from falling and spinning into a diabolical abyss. It's almost as if this is the New World Order global map. Like, this is completely orchestrated, that we're going to put Donald Trump in. He's going to win everyone's favor, and he can get away with anything he wants now because he has all these loyalists and people that are very tribal. As long as you build the Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears narrative there, you're going to always have that tribalism on both sides, and people are going to say, oh, the Bears are always better. Oh, the Packers are always better. Of course, no one's going to see that there's parts of it that aren't good, that need improvement, that things that you should speak up again about, but you don't. You know, you are a loyalist, and it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy to be able to differentiate your policies from your party when your party has crappy policies, because they do. And we need to discuss these things and figure out a way we can get reanimated and re-involved, because a lot of us have went home. We've unplugged from the matrix. We've taken this out of our mind and put it away in the closet and said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm happier unplugging from the matrix. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't look at your kids and realize the future that you are leaving them by unplugging from this matrix, by not giving a care and not being involved one way or another, that is the real question. It's really about your children. It's about the future we leave for the kids. It's not about you or me. I mean, our lives are half over right now, Kristen, Megyn Kelly. I'm pushing my 40s here, and I'm putting in everything I got against this New World Order, because that's what I dedicated my life towards. That's what I'm going to finish my life doing. I'm never going to stop. And the question is, how many people out there have become posers and put aside like their personal beliefs because of the fact that they just don't want to deal with it anymore? We got to figure out a way to talk to these people to get them involved. We got to talk to people and find what issues are important to them and bring those into the party and have these conversations. We need to have conversations on why it is Donald Trump doesn't like Thomas Massie. And I think everyone knows he's raising great money, I'm hearing.
He absolutely is. I'm a proud monthly donor. And, you know, I think just came out the other day about how he broke records with the grassroots fundraising. And I literally saw comments on social media. Yeah, it's coming from the Democrats. And that's how disconnected voters are. If you do not understand how liberty-minded Thomas Massie is, he's the furthest thing from a Democrat. Heaven forbid he reach across the aisle with Ro Khanna to expose pedophiles. Clutch my pearls. The most common issues that people give a crap about that he's talking about is affordability, not letting billions of dollars go to foreign nations. I'm sorry, I'm America first. Trump was supposed to be America first. And Thomas Massie, outside of Ron Paul, is the OG America First, MAHA, and MEGA. And what I try to remind, and I get you, Kristan, even though your Packers suck and my Bears are awesome. But when I talk to the voters in Michigan that I got to swing over, they're like, I told you, Kristan, yeah, we freed Ross, but I'm not voting again. And I'm working I'm burning. I have no bandwidth left, Kristan. I literally am like an unhinged menopausal woman at this point. Like I cry, I yell because I'm like, nobody's listening. Like I feel like Chicken Little. I'm like, I get that you've been let down, but if you want Trump to have more time to try to do the things that he promised, because nothing's instant, and I understand that, you got to keep the majority in the midterms. And I do think that there will be some people who plug their nose and still vote for him, the Republicans in the midterms, and don't admit it. But the difference is for the midterms, they're always harder because it's not presidential and your voter turnout is lower. And this is another thing. To keep the majority, you can't elevate establishment candidates. So I just want to say, in Michigan, we have two females that are running against Mike Rogers, Genevieve Peter-Scott and Bernadette Smith, two women that are going against Mike Rogers. And I'm telling you, if Mike Rogers gets to the general, I'm not voting for him, and I never will. And I get blamed for Slotkin getting through. Stop worshiping establishment candidates. Now look at Lindsey Graham. That Paul Danz is highly impressive. He was on Tucker. He just did an interview with Tim Pool on Timcast. We really need to educate peoples in that state. My reach is international, but I have family in South Carolina. I'm doing everything I can while running a business, being a mom, fighting the geoengineering issue around the country, working with lawyers. I'm like you. Sometimes I'm like, I want to bow out, but I can't. I feel called to this. I was born for this. I have to do this. And I'm glad to be aligned with people like you and the whole crew of InfoWars. We have got to, yes, be honest about the potential outcome of the midterms, but we have to find ways to get the Republican Party to realize at the top level, Trump is surrounded by snakes. And these snakes are booting out good people. I mean, look what happened with Doge. We cannot win without the recognition of the good work of Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Rand Paul, and hell, even Ro Khanna. There are Democrats that are unhinged left progressives. They do exist. There are some current day Dennis Kuciniches, and we have to acknowledge that. I even see, Kristan, people attack Thomas Massie because he goes on CNN. Guess what? There are people in his district that are left, and he has to represent his entire district. And the last thing I want to say before I toss it back to you, sorry, I'm long-winded. I'm angry. I'm a little spicy. Is that we have really got to capture and realize we have time. We have an entire year to do this. And these constant attacks that Trump is putting out, we have to remind people that most elections are lost by 1%. And I know that FreedomWorks is debunked, but I used to work with them, and they recognize that 42% of the voter demographic is not left or right. And those are the people that you have to hone into. We cannot demonize them. We cannot ignore them. And you are not going to blame people like me if Democrats win, because I will never vote for your establishment candidates that are responsible for the warrantless spying on Americans. And it's even worse because Mike Rogers is a veteran. I'm tired of the oath violators. I'm absolutely tired. And I've had long conversations with our joint friend, Stuart Rhodes, about this. And there's a lot of us who are angry, and I'm going to vote correctly, but I will not vote for any establishment candidate. So Trump needs to stop endorsing right now.
It's interesting because of the fact that he seems to be endorsing candidates that aren't beneficial for the citizens anymore, but that are party line yes men, right? And if you step outside the yes men safe space, you're immediately then scrutinized and your character assassinated. One of those things is that the fact that Thomas Massie's been effective. I think that we need to really look at the real answer here, Krista, Megyn Kelly. And I think the real answer is we need more libertarian-minded people and unestablishment-minded people to get involved, to start going out there, learning how to run for their local school board and the local community, start developing those careers, because the system isn't going to change unless we infiltrate it. And we need to infiltrate it more than what we have. And let's be honest, Ron Paul, he set the seeds of fire on a lot of us Americans at a young age. We learned that the war machine was a crime syndicate, that we learned that the war on drugs was an endless war, the war on terror is an endless war. We learned that our government is spending us into oblivion, and a lot of us took to the local stage and got elected and or tried to run for government. And we're able to get in. And that's where you see the Justin Amashes and, you know, the Mike Lees, per se, and, of course, the Thomas Massies of the world. But we need more of us. as we see that some of us are even starting to leave because they just can't handle it. Marjorie Taylor Greene just came out. By the way, let's play that clip real quick. If we have clip three of Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's resigning. Check this out real quick.
There is no plan to save the world or a 4D chess game being played. When common American people realize and understand that the political industrial complex of both parties is ripping this country apart, that not one elected leader like me is able to stop Washington's machine from gradually destroying our country, and instead the reality is that they, common Americans, the people, possess the real power over Washington, then I'll be here by their side to rebuild it. Until then, I'm going back to the people that I love, to live my life to the fullest as I always have, and I look forward to a new path ahead. I'll be resigning from office, with my last day being January 5th, 2026, and I look forward to seeing many of you again sometime in the future. May God bless you all, and may God bless America.
That's Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that she's going to resign. And Donald Trump, I believe, just came out and said, well, I hope she runs again, because I'm hoping that he's starting to realize the implications of the things that he's saying and that he's doing. Krista, Megyn Kelly, we have 2.5 minutes here left with you on the broadcast. I wanted to kind of hone down and kind of get to the final thoughts on what we can do to actually implement change. Krista, Megyn Kelly, what is it that you see that we can do to improve the scenario? What is it that we got to do?
Social media is the biggest media, and you have to fight against the false rhetoric. And for example, when Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned, people are like, oh, she got rich quick. I'm like, or she inherited her family's construction business and sold her CrossFit gym. See, when Trump starts attacking people, his base with Trump worship syndrome, worse than Trump derangement syndrome, they try to dig and grasp for straws of things to attack. And all of a sudden now Marjorie Taylor Greene is evil. By the way, she had a bill in for the Clear Skies Act to ban geoengineering federally, something that she has reached out to me about. Kristan, in order to save face at all, we've got to get someone in the White House that can actually touch Trump and let him know. I know he's a big ego guy, but he needed the liberty vote, and it got him through in 2024. What in the heck is wrong with him that he doesn't see that he still needs the liberty vote? I don't regret my vote. There's been wins. I'm not an anti-Trumper, but I'm anti this horrible, disgusting tantrum rhetoric on social media that is igniting the base to further attack these liberty candidates. The only thing it's doing is making Thomas Massie fundraise more. You know, if we all have mascots, he's our mascot of liberty. We've got to go back to what the base is saying. They want to stop foreign intervention. They are not fans of AIPAC. They don't want to fund foreign conflicts and both sides of wars. They want to be able to buy a home. When I graduated high school, you could get an apartment for $450, a nice one. You can't do that now. It's $1,450. Affordability, no foreign aid. We want to take care of America first. That's not anti-Semitic. It's not racist. It's pro-America. And let's also remember, he does make mistakes, and it's okay to call out Trump's mistake. Stop attacking your fellow Republicans and Ron Paul Republicans and libertarians who voted for him and still might, just because they're calling out bad behavior. So, you know, I'd love to talk to someone about this. Again, I have a couple interviews lined up. I'm trying to shout from the rooftops all the insider information I have from these voter demographics in the swing states. So
where
I'm
can
glad
people
that
find
you,
Krista Megyn Kelly?
This. You can mainly find me on X at Krista Megyn. TikTok, now owned by the wrong group. TikTok is Krista Megyn TV, and on Facebook at Krista Megyn Kelly, but I'm most active on X when I'm not being shadow banned.
You guys are listening to The War Room. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, filling in for the wonderful Harrison Smith, and we'll be back with Mark D'Antonio. We're going to dive into Disclosure and some of the weirdness that's going on there when we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexshowstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right, Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultra Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, get another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit theoxygenstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, your desktop or phone. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.